الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد We begin this evening the opening lecture in the second seminar entitled مجالس الآخرة The gatherings of the hereafter. We will be studying a work بإذن الله تعالى, which is a summarized portion of the work of Al-Hafidh Al-Nawawi rahimahullah, from a number of chapters about آداب العالم والمتعلم, the manners of the scholar, or the one who is considered a person of knowledge and a teacher, and likewise the manners of the student, the manners of the students. And no doubt, the one who learns in detail and properly the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he ponders and he reflects over the Islamic legislation and the many details that are found in the legislation and in the law and in the limits and regulations that are prescribed in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and no doubt he will see that this religion is a complete and perfect way of life, encompassing every aspect of the life of the human being, from his creed and from his belief and from his methodology and the manner that he worships and the way that he traverses in his life and the way that he conducts himself and his manners and his behavior that he abides by in every circumstance. And every circumstance and situation, there are great details that are clarified in the biography and in the life and in the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani the legislation of that Islam, it consists of the greatest and the most beneficial and correct and pure creed. The most beneficial creed and the purest of all creed and belief, the creed of at-tawheed, la ilaha illallah. And likewise, it consists of the most just and proper and beneficial rulings and regulations, as well as the most noble and lofty conduct and manners. So the one who reflects and ponders over these affairs, he will realize without a doubt the beauty of Islam and the perfection of this deen and the completion of this legislation, and likewise the excellence of the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he will also realize that this sharia tanzeelun min hakeemin khabeer, that this legislation and this law, this legislation and this law and this way of life is revelation from the one who is all wise, and he is all knowledgeable and aware of all things. كِتَابٌ أُحْكِمَتْ آيَاتُهُ ثُمَّ فُصِّلَتْ مِنْ لَدُنْ حَكِيمٍ خَبِيرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's describing his book in Surah Al-Hud in the beginning, that it is a book, and he meaning a book full of benefit and blessing and prescribed law and legislation and guidance, and its verses have been mastered. Its verses have been mastered and clarified in detail from the one who was the all-wise and aware of all things, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, looking into the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which he has mentioned about this affair, about the reality of the coming of his prophethood and being sent as a messenger, and that the wisdom behind that is to master and to perfect, is to perfect and to complete the moral conduct and character, as has been collected by Imam Ahmed from the Haditha Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ صَالِحَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, that I was only sent, and meaning with prophethood and guidance and revelation from the Lord of the worlds. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ, I was only sent as a prophet and messenger. This is his statement, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِأُتَمِّمَ صَالِحَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, so that I can perfect the upright and the noble moral conduct and character. In some narrations, or in one narration, makarim al-akhlaq. So this is the purpose and the wisdom behind the sending of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to perfect the noble conduct and manners and conduct and the morals that are pleasing to Allah. To clarify this to mankind, the way of life to live in every aspect that leads to the pleasure of Allah, and likewise clarifying the avenues of falsehood and misguidance in every aspect of life that would lead to the anger of Allah. This is from the wisdom of of the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And likewise, Allah, He mentioned about His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and His manner specifically, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Then indeed you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, are on a great status of manners, on a great and high and lofty status of manners and conduct and etiquettes and behavior. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he mentioned in the interpretation of this verse, عَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ أي عَلَى دِينٍ عَظِيمٍ, meaning upon a great and amazing religion. A great and amazing religion. Meaning that he understood this affair here, this praise of Allah Azza wa Jal for His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he's on a high and a great status of manners, meaning he is on a high and great status of deen and religion and way of life. So therefore, the people of knowledge, they have clarified, and from them, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, they have mentioned that the entire religion is adib. That ad-deenu kulluhu adib. That the religion, all of it is manners and etiquettes. All of it is manners and etiquettes. Manners and etiquettes, first and foremost, beginning with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believing in His command and His decree and believing in His legislation likewise and submitting and surrendering to that and being pleased with His Lordship subhanahu wa ta'ala and being pleased with His legislation and preferring that way. And likewise, manners with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and loving him more than one loves himself or his family or the wealth or anything in this worldly life, and preferring his way and loving Islam and preferring that way likewise, and taking those regulations and those limits that have been prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a way of life, and abiding by that. This is the greatest of all manners. Manners with Allah, manners with His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and manners with this legislation, with the deen of Islam, and preferring that way and being pleased with that and choosing that and sufficing with that. But likewise, manners and etiquettes in every aspect of life as well. It's complete and perfect. Manners and etiquettes in every aspect of life is complete and perfect. The manners of at-tahara, for example, and purification and keeping one's soul and one's heart clean, and likewise one's body and one's clothing and the place where one resides clean. This is from the beautiful manners, and that Allah, He loves this affair. And likewise, in the salat, there are manners and etiquettes. So before a person, he will stand before Allah and worship Him and surrender to Him and submit to Him in devotion, he will purify himself. This is from manners. And likewise, ghusl janaba, all of these affairs here, they're from manners and they're from etiquettes. Manners and they're from etiquettes. And then there's the etiquettes in salat. And there's etiquettes with regards to the wealth and how to earn that. And there's etiquettes with regards to taking care of one's family and dealing with one's parents and dealing with one's children and one's spouses. And there's etiquettes with regards to marriage and the night of marriage. There's etiquettes in every circumstance and situation. There's etiquettes whenever the spouses are alone. There's nothing that is left off except that there are prescribed law and legislation clarifying the proper way to perform that. And the proper way, yani, to do these affairs. So the whole entire religion is manners and etiquettes and detailed law and legislation of how to abide in one's conduct and in one's behavior. And it's known that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's mentioned about his manners. Whenever Aisha radiallahu anha, she was asked about his conduct and behavior, she said, "Kana khuluquhu al-Quran." That his manners, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was the Quran. The people of knowledge, they clarify, meaning, "Annahu yamtathilu li awamir al-Quran, wa yantahi an nawahihi." That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would submit and surrender and comply to the commandments of the Quran, and he would apply them and abide by them. And likewise, he would avoid and stay away from the prohibition, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would leave them entirely. In this manner, by applying those verses and abiding by that law and legislation that is prescribed in the noble Quran, his manners became like this. And it is described as if his manners were the Quran, meaning he's upon that guidance, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in knowledge and application. He's upon the guidance that is prescribed and clarified in the Quran, and knowledge and then application. And likewise, this is the manner for success. To abide by the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this affair with regards to knowledge and application and being upon his guidance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That indeed in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have the best role model and you have the best example to follow. You have the best role model, you have the best example, you have the best example to follow. It has been collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhum, that he said about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لم يكن فاحشا ولا متفاحشا. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was not foul or vulgar. He was not foul or vulgar. He did not act in a decent manner, not in his speech and not in his conduct. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ فَاحِشًا وَلَا مُتَفَاحِشًا. He did not act like that likewise. And he did not act like that likewise. And he himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not have lowly and despicable manners. He himself, he was not foul or lewd or rude or harsh. He himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was not indecent in his speech and his behavior and his actions and his conduct. And he didn't lie. He did not act like that likewise. And some people, they're foul. And this is something that they have in themselves. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And other people, maybe they'll be good, but whenever they get in certain circumstances and situations, they act like they are foul. They act like they are foul, or they fall into this manner or this conduct of al-fuhsh, and being lewd and indecent and foul and vulgar. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was not like that, and he did not act like that. Rather, he says, radiyallahu anhu, wa kana yaqul, and he used to say to us. And this manner here, wa kana yaqul, is an indication that this is something, and Allah knows best. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say to them repeatedly, inna min khiyarikum ahasinakum akhlaqan, that indeed the best of you, that indeed from the best of you is the one who has the best manners, is the one who has the best manners. Likewise, it has been collected by Al-Hakim fi mustadrakihi from the hadith of Sahr ibn Sa'd radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, inna allaha kareemun yuhibbu al-karam wa yuhibbu ma'ari al-umur wa yubghidu safsafaha, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the most noble subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he loves nobility, and he loves the lofty affairs, and he detests the lowly and despicable affairs. So just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has encouraged the affairs of manners, and likewise he has clarified that this is the reason why he sent, and he was the perfect example and display of that as well. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he clarified likewise the reason behind these manners, and encouraging the believers to be sincere in their conduct and the way that they behave. And this is because Allah, He is the most kind, and that Allah, He is the most noble, and He is the most generous, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah, He loves nobility. Allah, He loves honor and dignity. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَرِيمٌ يُحِبُّ الْكَرَمُ وَيُحِبُّ مَعَارِي الْأُمُورِ, and He loves the lofty affairs, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Encouragement that a person, he will love what Allah loves, and this is from the perfection of faith. And from that, the manners and the conduct and the dealings and the speech and the action. A believer, he will love that which Allah loves from these lofty and these high affairs. وَيُبْغِضُ سَبْسَافَهَا, and Allah, He detests and hates the lowly affairs. So likewise, a believer as well, he would detest that which Allah detests from those lowly and despicable manners. But from the point here that we want to benefit is the indication here that these manners, they must be for the sake of Allah. That a person, he will strive against the soul to have the noble and the good conduct and the upright and the lofty behavior in every circumstance and situation, as clarified in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but not for the sake of the people, or not for the praise of the people, or not for a status or position in this life, but rather seeking the pleasure of Allah. And many times these noble and lofty manners, to abide by them, sometimes the situations get hot, and sometimes the situations get difficult, and sometimes abiding by these manners becomes hard in certain circumstances and situations. But the one who remembers Allah, and then he checks himself with the reins of the Sharia for the sake of Allah, this is the one that it becomes easy for him to have the good and the noble manners. As for the one who is kind and he's nice to the people, but he's hoping for something from them, then many times he will fall short in that, especially if he has no hope that he will get anything from the people. And he will deal with them however he likes or however he's feeling at that moment. But the one who is dealing with the people for the sake of Allah, and he's remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his conduct and his manners and his dealings with the people, and then he seeks the pleasure of Allah in that, not the pleasure of the people, then this is the greatest means to aid him and to help him, and to be upon the proper manners and the noble conduct, wherever he may be, and in every situation and every time. And likewise, remembering that Allah, He detests those lowly manners, so then a believer, he will avoid that out of fear that he may fall into something that is detesting to Allah Azza wa Jalla. He would turn from that and he would leave that. And if he slipped and fell into that, then he would hasten to repentance, and he would remember and he would think about his situation, that the way that he spoke to that individual, whether it's his wife or his family members or his children or the man in the street or the man in the store or wherever it may have been, that he will remember that that dealing was not proper, it's not something pleasing to Allah, that he behaved in a manner that is not considered from the high and the lofty affairs. Rather, maybe he sometimes would behave in a manner that's considered min safsafiha, from those lowly and despicable manners and conduct in his speech and his dealings and the likes like this. But the one who remembers this affair and he's aware of this affair, this will cause him to repent and to strive against the soul to remove that. And to strive against the soul to remove that. In this manner, a believer, he can complete his faith. In this manner, a believer, he can complete his faith. It's been collected by Abu Dawood from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. The believers who have the most complete faith, they're the ones who have the best manners. They're the ones who have the best manners. Any meaning they have completed their religion entirely. They have completed their religion entirely. And the manners here again, there are manners that are related with regards to the Creator and likewise manners with regards to the creation. And the one who has reached the level of al-ihsan, which is the highest level in the religion, where he has mastered and he has done his best to seek the pleasure of Allah in every circumstance in his life, then he is the one who has done his best to fulfill the rights of the Creator, and likewise he strives against his soul as well to fulfill the rights of the creation. The rights of the creation that they have been given by the Creator, in each one according to their level and their status. Allah, he has given the people rights, and some people's rights are greater than others. Like the right of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after them the companions, and after them the scholars and the people of knowledge, and those who teach and call to the straight path and to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and like the parents and the likes like this, they have a high and a lofty status and rank with Allah azza wa jal. So therefore a believer, he has to likewise give the people their rights in a manner that is befitting, and in this manner and in this way he will complete his religion, he will perfect his faith. So all of this here, this clarifies the high status and the lofty rank of the noble manners and the importance of the conduct and the religion of Al-Islam. And the one that has perfected his manners, he is the one who has perfected his deen. And from this aspect, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentioned that the one who has loftier and better manners than you, then he has a better deen than you. And this is based upon understanding the reality of manners. And manners is not simply smiling in the face of the people and being courteous and kind. And rather is abiding by the law and the legislation and fulfilling the obligations and the prohibitions that have been established in the Quran and the Sunnah for the sake of Allah properly. And abiding by the Sunnah and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam diligently. In this manner, his conduct will be considered upright. And then his manners will be considered from the best in this way and in this path. And the one who is better in this way, then he is better and more lofty and more perfect and complete in his deen and in his religion. In his deen and in his religion. So therefore the foundation of these noble manners is not based upon desires and whims. It's not based upon what the people think. But rather these manners, the scale for that is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The scale for the noble and the good and lofty manners is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiallahu anha, one time she asked about Abdullah ibn Jud'an, and he was known for his generosity and his kindness in the days of Jahiliyyah. And he was known for this affair. He was known for karam, which is from the best of the noble and the lofty manners. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, huwa fi an-nar, ma huwa yanfa'uhu bi shay. Or as he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this will not benefit him whatsoever. Lam yaqul yawman min al-ayami rabbi ighfir li khatiyati yawm ad-din. He never said one day in his life, oh my Lord, forgive me my sin on the day of resurrection. Oh my Lord, forgive me my sins on the day of judgment. So the fact here now to clarify, the noble manners is not left up to desires or to the whims or what the people in this society think or that society think, but this affair is governed by the law and the legislation, and is governed and clarified and measured by the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the greatest books of manners, and from the scholars of hadith, is that which is collected by Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, rahimahullah. He died in the year 463. He has a great work called Jami' al-Jami' li Akhlaq al-Rawi wa Adab al-Sami', the concise book or the concise work of the manners of the scholar of hadith and the one who listens and learns, meaning the sheikh and the student. In this, in the beginning of this work, he mentioned a narration from Sufyan ibn Uyayna. From Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 198, from the greatest of the atba' tabi'een. He says, "Inna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam huwa al-mizanul akbar." He said that indeed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the greatest scale. He is the greatest scale. فَعَلَيْهِ تُعْرَضُ الْأَشْيَاءُ. And it is according to him that all things are presented. And all things are presented to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. عَلَى خُلُقِهِ وَسِيرَتِهِ وَهَدِيهِ فَمَا وَفَقَهَا فَهُوَ الْحَقِّ وَمَا خَالَفَهَا فَهُوَ الْبَاطِلِ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the greatest scale. And all things are presented to him. Yani to be weighed up and to be measured, to determine whether it's correct or whether it's proper, whether it's good or whether it's foul. He says, so his, according to his manners, according to his biography and his way of life, according to his etiquettes and his demeanor, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of this. So that which is in accordance to this, and to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it's the truth. Anything that is contrary to that, then it is falsehood. Then it is falsehood. And this is the proper understanding. So therefore, the scale for this affair is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which has been reported authentically from his life and from his way and from his methodology and from his manners and from his etiquettes and from his demeanor and the way that he carried himself and the way that he behaved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beginning first and foremost in creed and belief, and likewise in worship and acts of devotion and servitude, and likewise in conduct and manners and the way that he carried himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the way that he behaved, and likewise in conduct and contracts and dealings and marriage and divorce and the manner to get money and to earn a living and the likes like this, and the issues of governing society and rules and limits that are prescribed and that are set. His way sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the scale for this affair. That which is in accordance to that is truth and haq and noble and good manners. And that which is contrary to that is falsehood and evil and foul and lowly manners. And foul and lowly manners. So the Salaf, they understood this affair in a great manner. And likewise, in the Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi rahimahullah, also he mentioned a narration to Muhammad ibn Sirin from the greatest of the Tabi'een. He died in the year 110, and he studied and learned from a number of the companions, from them Anas ibn Malik and radiyallahu anhu. And he says, rahimahullah, كانوا يتعلمون الهدية كما يتعلمون العلم. He said they used to learn the الهدية, what it means here specifically, and Allah knows best, الأدب, yani the manners and the behavior and conduct. كانوا يتعلمون الهدية, أي الأدب, كما يتعلمون العلم. They used to learn manners and conduct the same way that they would learn knowledge. And in the same way that they would learn the details of the law and the prescribed limits. This is halal and this is haram, and there is exceptions in this case and in that case, and this one is permissible, and the origin is that this is not allowed, but in this circumstance it will be allowed. Learning the details of this, of these affairs, and the details of this knowledge, and the proper creed and the proper belief. All of this is from knowledge. The same way they would learn that, they would learn the manners and etiquettes. Meaning they would learn the way to perform that. The manners and the etiquettes is the outward display of how to perform the creed, of how to apply the creed, of how to apply the creed, how to apply the aqidah, how to apply the iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the iman in the angels, the iman in the angels. The one who has a strong faith in the belief of Allah Azza wa Jal and the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a belief in the angels and that they're riding, there are angels that are riding and taking the deeds. This will be the greatest means to correct his conduct and his manners. From the greatest means to correct his conduct and his manners. And he knows likewise that there's revelation that has come and guidance that has been clarified, and the prophets, they have come alayhi salatu wassalam, and it's been sealed with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one who has this deep in his heart and he believes in this and is solid and firm, this will rectify his conduct. It will change him immediately. It will change him immediately. And like this, the scholars of hadith, they would say from that Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, likewise he died in the year 110. كَانَ رَجُلُ يَطْلُبُ الْحَدِيثَ فَلَمْ يَلْبَثْ أَنْ يُرَى ذَلِكَ فِي صَلَاتِهِ وَتَخَشُّعِهِ وَزُهْدِهِ وَفِي يَدِهِ وَلِسَانِهِ. He said that a man, he would start seeking knowledge of the hadith, of the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it would not be long. And you would see that in his manners and his conduct and his prayer and his humbleness and his tongue and his hand and in everything, in every aspect of his life. He would start learning the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then this would change him. whatever he was upon before that's contrary to that guidance, he would leave that. And his speech, and his manners, and his food, and his drink, and his clothing, and his contracts, and his dealings, and his manners, and his behavior. This was the way that they were upon. This is the way that they were upon. They would learn these affairs and apply them and abide by them. And this is the manner that rectifies the conduct and rectifies the behavior. So the point is now that he's mentioning that they used to do this. They used to learn the manners and the etiquettes the same way they learned the knowledge, the details of the knowledge. They would learn the details of the manners and the details of the etiquettes. And here we have a tabi'i saying that they used to learn. So he's referring now to the companions and to the major scholars from the tabi'in, that this was their methodology, that they would learn the etiquettes and the manners, and they would learn the conduct and behavior and how to carry themselves and how to have the proper yani conduct whenever they're moving and going through life, just as they would learn the knowledge. Likewise, it has come as well, yani the same affair with regards to Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala. And this even began yani because of his mother. And it's mentioned that the mother of Imam Malik rahimahumullah, she used to be very concerned about him and about his manners specifically. And it's mentioned that he said one time, قُلْتُ لِأُمِّي أَذْهَبُ أَكْتُبُ الْعِلْمِ. One time Imam Malik, he told his mother rahimahullah that indeed I'm going to go and I'm going to write knowledge. Meaning I'm going to go and I'm going to sit in the gatherings of knowledge and take knowledge and study and seek knowledge. فَقَالَتْ تَعَالَى فَلْبَسْ ثِيَابَ الْعِلْمِ. She said, oh, if you're going to go seek knowledge, تَعَالَى فَلْبَسْ ثِيَابَ الْعِلْمِ. Come. If you're going to go seek knowledge, come. You have to put on the garments of knowledge. Meaning the people of knowledge in those days, and still today likewise, it's known that they have a demeanor about themselves. And they have garments that they wear. And they have etiquettes that they abide by. The people of knowledge, they do not dress like the layman. They do not act like the layman. They do not look like the layman. They have a demeanor about themselves. They abide by that which is revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam precisely. And you find them in their manners and their conduct and their appearance likewise in the most beautiful and best way. And the most beautiful and the best way. This is the way of the scholars. You want to go seek knowledge, come. You have to put on the clothing of knowledge. You have to put on the clothing of knowledge, meaning the clothing that is well known amongst the scholars and the people of knowledge and the students of knowledge, those who are truthful and sincere in that search. So she says, فَأَلْبَسَتْنِي ثِيَابًا مُشَمَّرًا وَعَمَّمَتْنِي فَوْقَهَا. So she gave me this nice thobe, these nice garments, and put the garment on my head, and then wrapped my head with an imama. And then she says, ثُمَّ قَالَتْ اِذْهَبْ فَكْتُبُ الْآنِ. After she decorated him and got him dressed in the proper garment, she said, Now go and seek knowledge. And likewise, Al-Imam Malik, he mentioned about his mother. This is an indication that the mothers and fathers, they should have concern about the etiquettes and manners of their children. They have concern about the etiquettes and the manners of their children. This is the way of Imam Malik. It's mentioned that Imam Malik, he's from those great scholars, الَّذِينَ رَبَّتْهُمْ الْأُمَّهَاتِ. And the mothers raised them. And there are certain scholars like him and like Al-Imam Ahmed, that they lost their fathers, but their mothers raised them alone upon khayr and upon goodness until they became from the best of the people, from the best of the people in knowledge and conduct and manners and application and in deen. So Al-Imam Malik, he says, rahimahullah, كانت أمي تعممني وتقول لي اذهب إلى ربيعة فتعلم من أدبه قبل علمه. He said that my mother, she used to put the turban on my head. She used to wrap it around my head precisely, properly, and put it on my head and then say to me, go to Rabi'a. Yani Rabi'a al-Ra'yi. And he was known for his great and vast knowledge of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she would say to him, go to him and learn his manners and conduct before you learn his knowledge. Go to his manners and conduct before you learn his knowledge. There's a great benefit here that's mentioned in this context here. This is collected by Al-Qadhi Iyadh in his work Tartib al-Madarik wa Taqrib al-Masalik. He says now, قال أبو القاسم أفضى بمالك طلب العلم إلى نقض سقف بيته فباع خشبه ثم مالت عليه الدنيا بعده ثم مالت عليه الدنيا بعده. Abu Qasim, he mentioned about Al-Imam Malik. He said that he, rahimahullah, seeking knowledge led him to tear down his own home. Seeking knowledge led him to tear down his own home until he sold the pieces of wood in his roof, and he, in order to seek knowledge. Until he sold the pieces of wood in the roof of his own house, he sold that in order to seek knowledge, meaning that he was in poverty and he was in hardship and dealing whenever he in the days of seeking knowledge, to the extent that part of his own home, pieces of his own house, he will sell that to get money in order to continue upon that path of seeking knowledge. But he says after that, ثُمَّ مَالَتْ عَلَيْهِ الدُّنْيَا بَعْدُ. And then after that, the whole worldly life came to him after that. And he, meaning that he did not have to look or have to ask. Rather, the whole world came to him and all this worldly life fell in his hand. And it's known that he became Imam Dar al-Hijrah. Imam Dar al-Hijrah. He's the greatest Imam in Al-Medina in his time. Rahimahullah ta'ala. So the point is now that maybe sometimes a person, he will have hardship and difficulty while he's in the stages or while he's involved in seeking knowledge. But the one who is truthful and sincere, then he will watch the avenues open up for him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for him from where he could not perceive or he could not imagine. But the point is likewise to see that this is the way of the Salaf. They had great concern with learning manners and with learning etiquettes. Also, that which will clarify the importance of manners and etiquettes and the methodology of the scholars of hadith is the efforts and the care and the diligence that they have had with regards to collecting works and authoring works with regards to this affair. And in collecting works and authoring works with regards to the issue of manners and etiquettes. And this is from more than one aspect, in general and in specific. And there are books that are authored that have manners mentioned in general, and there are likewise other books that are authored that are mentioned with specific types of manners. The scholars of hadith, they have made great effort to collect from the early generations, in the time of narration, when they were narrating with chains, they made a great effort to collect the manners and the etiquettes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if we remember what has preceded, that the whole religion in reality is manners, then we will see that the greatest place to learn the manners of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first and foremost will be Al-Kutub, Al-Sitta, Bukhari and Muslim, and Abu Dawood wa Tirmidhi, and Nasa'i ibn Majah. These are the greatest places to learn the manners and the etiquettes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how he used to behave. If you want to learn about his tahara, you go to the book of tahara. You want to learn about his manners and etiquettes in salat, you learn about that in the book of salat. And if you want to learn about his manners and etiquettes in zakat, the book of zakat is written all the way to the end of the books of hadith. Each one of these chapters is clarifying the behavior and the manners of the etiquettes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of these etiquettes are obligatory. Some of them are recommended. And some of the affairs mentioned there likewise would be impermissible or prohibited. According to the issue and according to the particular topic. So the point is now that in general, the books of hadith, this is the place where the manners and the etiquettes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are collected and clarified. But on top of that, for example, in Sahih Bukhari, from the books of Sahih Bukhari, or from the chapters that are there, he has a chapter specifically mentioned Kitab al-Adab, the book of manners. And likewise, al-Imam Muslim, in Sahih Muslim, likewise he has a chapter or a book that's mentioned Kitabu al-Birr wa-Sila wa-Adam, the chapter of piety and righteousness, and the chapter of keeping ties of the relatives, and the chapter of manners. And likewise, in Sunan Abi Dawood, there's Kitab al-Adab. And he closed his book like this. The last chapter in Sunan Abi Dawood is the book of manners. And likewise, in Sunan al-Nasa'i. And he didn't have a specific book about adab, but he has one. He didn't have a general book about adab, but he has one called Kitab Adab al-Qudat, the book of the manners of the judges. And also in Sunan Ibn Majah, he has as well Kitab al-Adab. So all of them, they have made a specific book in these Kutub al-Sitta with regards to adab and manners. And then even specific manners, they have specific books. They have the book of Ashriba, and the book of Ribas, and the book of Al-Tayma, and the book of Al-Istidhan, and the likes like this. They have the chapter or the book or the chapter with regards to drinks, any of the manners of drinking, and likewise with regards to clothing, any of the manners of clothing and adornment, books with regards to the food, and the likes like this, and the manners of food. All of these are clarified in the Kutub al-Sitta. They have chapters for these affairs, with narration after narration after narration, authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how to do these affairs, how to abide by that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of these circumstances. So likewise, as well, other than these books, the people of knowledge have written specific books with regards to the noble conduct and manners. And they have entitled them Makarim al-Akhlaq. Makarim al-Akhlaq. The title of the book, Makarim al-Akhlaq, the noble and lofty manners. From them, Ibn Abi Dunya. He died in the year 281. He died in the year 281. He has a book called The Noble Manners. And likewise, Al-Khara'iti. Al-Khara'iti, he died in the year 327. He has a book called Makarim al-Akhlaq. This is from the most extensive of them. And this one is in four volumes. This one is in four volumes. And likewise, Al-Tabarani, he has a book called Makarim al-Akhlaq. He died in the year 360. And the one of Ibn Abi Dunya is small. And the one of Al-Tabarani likewise is small. And as for Al-Khara'iti, then this one is very vast. It's four volumes. Four volumes. So this is in general with regards to the noble and the lofty manners. Inside the likes of these books, they will have chapters of each topic. Yani with regards to, for example, giving salam, with regards to eating, with regards to drinking, with regards to sitting, and the likes like this. All of the manners in the circumstances a person he will be in, and the way to perform that in the most noble and lofty way. Likewise, the people of knowledge, they have written books about specific manners. From that, the manners of the people of knowledge and the students of knowledge and the manners of knowledge in general. And from that is the book entitled Akhlaq al-Ulama. And another book entitled Akhlaq Hamalat al-Quran. The book which is entitled The Manners of the Scholars. Another book entitled The Manners of the Carriers of the Quran. Both of them are by Al-Imam al-Hajuri, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He died in the year 360. So these are specific about the manners of the people busy with knowledge, and they are learning and seeking knowledge and teaching knowledge. Likewise, he has a book as well, rahimahullah, called Adab al-Nufus, the manners of the souls, and how to cultivate one's soul, how to learn about the soul, and the good of the soul and the bad of the soul, and how to check that, and how to have control of oneself, and the likes like this. Likewise, there are other works called Adab al-Muta'allimin, the manners of the students, by Muhammad ibn Suhnun. He's from the Maliki scholars, and he was in Al-Andalus. He died in the same year as Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. Which year was that? 256. So he has a great work called Adab al-Muta'allimin. Adab al-Muta'allimin. He was in Qayrawan, which today is in Tunis. In Tunis. And all the way to the other end. Yani of Africa, they have reached over there and they have brought along with them knowledge of manners and etiquettes. And they're teaching the people there, adab al-muta'allimin, the manners and the etiquettes of the students, the manners and etiquettes of the students. He died in 256, rahimahullah ta'ala. Likewise, another work called Rawdatul Uqala, wa Nuzhatul Fudala, li Ibn Hibban al-Busti, rahimahullah, sahib al-sahih. He died in the year 354. A great work is called The Gardens of the Intelligent. The Gardens of the Intelligent. And this is also from the most beneficial books with regards to the noble manners and the lofty and beautiful conduct. Also, another great scholar after him, Khatib al-Baghdadi. He has the book Al-Jami' li-Akhlaq al-Rawi wa Adab al-Sami'. He died in the year 463. The book which is all about the manners and etiquettes of the narrator of hadith, meaning the scholar and the sheikh, the teacher, and likewise the manners of those who listen and learn the hadith, meaning the manners and the etiquettes of the students. And likewise, another great scholar who died in the same year, 463, on the other end of the world, his name is Ibn Abdul Barr, rahimahullah. He has a book as well about this affair called Jami' Bayan al-Ilmi wa Fadlihi, a book about the clarification of knowledge and its virtue, knowledge and its virtue. So Khatib al-Baghdadi, he was from al-Baghdad, which is in al-Sharq. And Ibn Abd al-Barr, yani he was from Andalus, which is in al-Gharb. And they died in the same year. So two great scholars of hadith, one of them from the east and the other one from the west, they died in the same year. And both of them have great, great works, great, great works with regards to the clarification of the manners of the people of knowledge, those who are teaching and those who are learning. This is from the most reliable of those books. These works here are from the most reliable of those books. With regards to those books that have been mentioned now, they have a special status. Those books that have been mentioned previously, this is just a view. Not all of them, this is only some of them. But all of those books that have been mentioned previously, they have a special quality. And that is that those who have authored these books are considered Kutubun Musnada. Kutub Musnada. These are works where the authors, they have written them, and their methodology in them in general is to write chapter titles, and then after that they will say, Hadathani Fulan, أَنُّهُ سَمِعَ فُلَانٍ عَنْ فُلَانٍ قَالَ فُلَانٍ, like this, until it reaches the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or until it reaches the Sahaba or the Tabi'een and the likes like this, radiallahu anhum. So these works here, they are works where they're collected with narrations with chains. And it's and chains back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or back to the companions, radiallahu anhum, and the likes like this, clarifying with authenticity that this was their conduct, that this was their manners, that this was their behavior, and mentioning these events in their life, clarifying these affairs. So the likes of these works here, Kutub al-Sitta, and the books after that that have been mentioned, these are considered usul with regards to this affair. Considered usul with regards to al-Islam in general, and considered usul with regards to the noble manners specifically, and considered usul likewise with regards to the manners of the people of knowledge and the virtue of knowledge even more specifically. So the scholars, after the likes of these books, the scholars who came after these generations, then what they began doing is taking from these books. They began taking from these books and the likes of these books and authoring other works, any similar in this affair with regards to the virtue of the noble and lofty manners, and even more specific with regards to the manners of knowledge and the people of knowledge. From that, we have the work of Al-Mawardi. He died in the year 540. He has a book called Adab al-Dunya wa al-Din. Adab al-Dunya wa al-Din, the manners of the worldly life and the religion. Likewise, after him, we have a book called Al-Tibyan, Li-Adabi Hamalat al-Qur'an, and the clarification of the manners of the carriers of the Qur'an by Al-Nawawi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He died in the year 676. After him, there's another great work as well, with regards to the knowledge, the manners of the people of knowledge. Tathkiru to Sami' wal Mutakallim fi Adab al Alim wal Mutaallim by Ibn Jama'ah. He died in the year 733. Tathkiru to Sami' wal Mutakallim fi Adab al Alim wal Mutaallim. This is about the manners of the teacher and the student. The manners of the teacher, the teachers and the student. Ibn Jama'ah, he learned from An-Nawawi, and he was the one we read previously in the last dawra, who prayed, led the salat on the father of Al-Dhahabi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, Ibn Jama'ah, rahimahullah. Also, as well, another great work in manners, in the same topic here. Now we're discussing books that are not narrated by chain, but rather books where the authors have went to the usul and collected the narrations and the different benefits in the fawaid and arranged them in their works like this to clarify these issues. From the best of these books, a book called Al-Adab al-Shar'iyyah. Al-Adab al-Shar'iyyah, the legislative manners. This book is in four volumes and is from the most beautiful and beneficial books. It's by Ibn Mufrih al-Hanbali. He died in the year 763. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. So from the greatest of those works with regards to the manners, the legislative etiquettes and manners that have come, yani, meaning the one that is most encompassing, yani, from the scholars of the later generation, that which is from the work of Ibn Mufrih al-Hanbali, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he died in the year 763. His work called Al-Adab al-Shar'iyyah. Al-Adab al-Shar'iyyah. It's an amazing work. And this one here is encompassing, as the title is, yani, all of the aspects of manners in the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. But if one were to open the index of this work and to look at the arrangement and the likes of the works as well after this, that are related to this particular work, you will find that the very first topic that is spoken about is the chapter called Sawn al-Jawarih. The first thing they begin with is somebody who wants to talk about the legislative manners. Where did the scholars of hadith begin with? They begin with protecting and preserving the body parts, protecting and preserving the limbs. And the first one they spoke about was the tongue, and following that up with the eyes and the ears. And this is the very first thing whenever you open this book and you start reading about Adab al-Shar'iyyah. And this is based upon any of the narrations from Al-Imam Ahmad, most of them. And he's collected so many narrations from Al-Imam Ahmad and relied upon that madhab in clarifying these manners, rahimahullah. And they begin in this manner. The manners of protecting and preserving the limbs, the eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet, and the likes like this. So this is how it begins. And specifically with the tongue, following up with the eyes, their manners and etiquettes with the tongue and with the eyes. And in reality, there's great threats for those who do not have the proper manners and etiquettes with their tongue and with their eyes. And likewise, after that, with the stomach. And after that, he has the chapter of musical instruments and so on and so forth until the end of the chapter, when each one is specifically. But this is how it begins, to indicate the importance of this affair. That the true, noble, good manners begins by checking one's tongue and checking one's eyes. And the fastest means to corrupt one's manners is by letting his eyes loose and by letting his tongue loose. By letting his eyes loose and by letting his tongue loose. This is the manner for the etiquettes and the behavior to become foul and corrupted quickly. To become foul and corrupted quickly. And the benefit now is to realize that this is where they began. This is where they began, and at this affair here. After this, likewise, not only did the people of knowledge spend this great effort and care and concern and diligence to collect these manners, yani in this issue here, or in this way here, in book form, also they have written poems about this affair. So there's issues with regards to manners, works by the scholars of hadith until today, with regards to this affair that are in the nathr, yani in written form, and in regular, like authored works, and likewise in nazm. Likewise in poems, they have written poems about these affairs. And from the best of them, or the greatest of them, is the poem which is known as Manzumatul Adab. And there's two of them. One is called Al-Sughra and the other one is Al-Kubra. And this is by Ibn Abdul Qawi Al-Mardawi, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala Al-Hanbali. He died in the year 699. And the small one is a little less than 200 lines, and the major one is about 1,000 lines. Shaykh Al-Fawzani has an explanation of that, and likewise Shaykh Abdul Razak. And Alhamdulillah, from the favor of Allah, I attended that whenever I was in Medina. The explanation of this poem of Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, is very, very, very beneficial. So he has the smaller one and the major one. After that, Al-Hajawi. Al-Hajawi, he had come and he had gave the explanation of that poem, of the poem of Manzumat al-Adab. And likewise, Al-Hajawi, he died in the year 968. And after him as well came a Safarini from the Hanabilia that was in Dimashq. And he died in the year 1188. He has a book called Ghidha al-Albab. It's from the greatest of the explanations of the poem about the manners, the thousand lines of poetry about the manners, from the best and most inclusive explanations about that particular poem. Likewise, as well, there's the poem called Manzumatu Abi Ishaq al-Albiri. Also, it's known as the Qasida al-Ta'iyya. He died in the year 460. This is the poem that the youth are encouraged to memorize now, or to memorize part of it. Likewise, there's a poem called Al-Lamiyya, Ibn al-Wardi. Ibn al-Wardi, he died in the year 748. This poem here, likewise, is about manners and conduct, and it's very beautiful. And Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, many times he would mention lines from this poetry in his classes and explanation of the hadith and the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, there is another poem called Al-Manzuma Al-Mimiyya fi al-Wasaya wa al-Adab al-Ilmiyya li Hafidh al-Hakimi rahimahullah. He died in the year 1377, which is an amazing poem, Al-Mimiyya. It's very beneficial. And likewise, Shaykh Abdul Razak, he has an explanation of that, which was originally an audio. Now, it is also in written form. The one who has the Wallahu Alam, the greatest and most beneficial work with regard, any in general, the greatest and most beneficial work with regards to knowledge and the manners of knowledge and the etiquettes of knowledge, is a work by Ibn Qayyim called Miftah Dar al-Sa'ada. Miftah Dar al-Sa'ada. It's three volumes, very thick volumes like this. But the first volume specifically is all about knowledge and the virtue of knowledge and the benefits of knowledge. And almost every narration that has come in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about knowledge, he has discussed it there. He has discussed it there, mentioned it there, or clarified the benefits of that there. And this is from the best of the books, yani with regards to their interpretation and the mention of the fawaid and the benefits that are derived from the narrations related to knowledge and the virtue of knowledge. Miftah Dar Sa'adah. We read this in our classes in Akhlaq al-Ulama. We read from that. Likewise, from the beneficial works of Ibn Qayyim with regards to manners. He has a book, it's called Risale Ibn Qayyim Li Ahadi Ikhwanihi, the treatise of Ibn Qayyim to one of his brothers. And he gave him some advice, particularly about Salat. And this book is a book of manners and etiquettes, and is very, very beneficial and very, very beautiful, especially with regards to how to perform the Salat properly. And he mentioned in this work here that the Salat was the delight of the eye of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said, and this will happen in six ways. And he mentioned each point in a bit of detail, the things or the points that are required for the Salat to be considered the delight of an eye of a person. He clarified that there. Likewise, Ibn Qayyim, he has another work, which is also something that a student of knowledge, he would not neglect. Rather, he would have great diligence to study and to learn. And that is called Al-Jawab Al-Kafi. Al-Jawab Al-Kafi. Also, it's known as Al-Da wa Dawa, the disease and the cure. Or Al-Jawab Al-Kafi, meaning the complete response. This was an answer to a question. And the book is very thick. The book is very thick, almost two volumes thick. If you have two normal hardback books, you put them together, or almost three of them. That's the size of this book. This book was an answer to a question. This book was an answer to a question, all about the proper manners of dealing with sins and dealing with the soul and striving to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is another aspect of manners, which is very important, the manners of purifying the soul and the lust and desires. Likewise, he has a work called Ar-Risala At-Tabukiyyah. This is as well, these are different treaties, about different issues, but in reality, these are from the best books with regards to cultivating the soul upon piety and upon righteousness and getting those benefits of how to be firm and steadfast upon obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, there are other works as well that are from the most beneficial with regards to knowledge specifically. And that is which has come in some works, the people of knowledge, they speak of Al-Muqaddimat. Al-Muqaddimat, there are certain books, these authors in their books, they open the books with introductions. And it's certain, not every book has an introduction. Not every book has an introduction. But some books, they have introductions. And some introductions of some authors are from the most amazing and most beneficial. And in some books, they are known because of the introduction. Some books are known because of the introduction, and not in manners and etiquettes, but for example, in Jarh wa Ta'dil by Ibn Abi Hatim, he has a book called Jarh wa Ta'dil, and he has in the beginning of that a Taqdima. And this book is known for that. This book is known for the introduction. But with regards to this affair, Ibn Majah, Sunan Ibn Majah, from the Kutub al-Sitta, he has an introduction, a Muqaddima. And in that introduction, he has great, great benefits about manners and etiquettes of knowledge and the people of knowledge and the virtue and the status of knowledge and its people specifically. And likewise, in the introduction of Tafsir al-Qurtubi, there's great benefits as well in this about the knowledge and the manners of knowledge. And also in the work that we are going to study, which is originally from the work of An-Nawawi in his work called Al-Majmu'ah, it has an introduction. And from that, this work that we study, inshallah, is derived. We begin tomorrow with discussing that book and the author, inshallah. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.